Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
We know turkey season's on the horizon. We know holiday gut is on the horizon, too. All the eating we're going to be doing the next couple of weeks here. But you got to make sure you kind of offset that a little bit. What do you got to do? You got to go to F45, location in downtown West Palm Beach. It's the functional side of working out. It's mobile. It's meant to just get your heart rate up, feel good about the rest of your day. 45-minute classes, in and out. You blink and it's over. Follow along on the screen. See what exercises you have to do in a class-style setting. So that's a bunch of like-minded fitness individuals in one spot. Listen to loud music. Have a good time. Meet a bunch of people from all ages that are just interested in fitness. Two coaches on site making sure you're doing everything on par and making sure you're doing everything properly. And on top of that, it's mobile. You feel good coming out of it. You don't feel stiff. You don't get hurt. All that, it's more the functional side of working out. That's F45. Find a studio near you, F45 online, or go to F45 downtown West Palm Beach on Instagram. Colin Russo, Damian Perez, Christian Catt. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. If you miss any of the show, go listen back on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. You got Rivalry Weekend on Saturday and technically Friday. You got Thanksgiving Slate Football on Thursday as well. You got Feast Week for the college basketball fans. I'm all over that. And you got a good slate of football on Sunday. You're going to be watching all this stuff. And also, you're going to be driving to Thanksgiving. I know Damien's local. Christian's out in Chicago. Christian, is it freezing, by the way?
It is awful, dude. Like, it hurts your chest when
you're
walking.
How bad is it?
It's probably real feel, like 20 right now, but the Fahrenheit is like 35. But the wind is so strong. I was waiting for a train, and I was just in pain.
20 degrees is 35 feels like 20 is not bad. Like, that's like, for Midwesterners, that's not bad.
79 in West Palm right now. That's where I came from. So, yeah, it was pretty bad. Listen, man, I had my Ravens, like, long sleeve with a hood and my Carhartt hard shell jacket. It wasn't enough. My hands were freezing. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, if you're on the road, you're driving in the car on the way to your Thanksgiving meal tomorrow, you know you can do. Go get some hot food as a precursor to Thanksgiving. Where do you go? Racetrack.
I'll do you one better because Racetrack's got an awesome deal at participating locations. $8 large pizza. That's it. $8 for your large pie. You're not going to want to cook on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. Or you are cooking, but not food. You're going to eat that night. Racetrack. Download the Racetrack Rewards app. It's really simple. It's really easy. And you get a whole lot of free stuff from doing just that. Listen, I love Racetrack because they support our local high school athletes on these Friday night football games. I'll be back in town for those. Racetrack is supporting our local high schools every step of the way. 7.5 million people strong choose Racetrack as a part of their daily routine each and every week. Racetrack always has a big deal going on. Right now, I told you about the $8 pizza pie at participating locations on the Racetrack Rewards app. Also, their holiday breakfast deal, it's off the chain. For just $4, you get a breakfast sandwich, a hash brown, and a small coffee. Come on now. It's the giving season, and Racetrack is giving you just that. They've got your hot food, the pizza, the roller hot dogs. They've got your ice cold drinks, the freeze frozen Hawaiian punch, my favorite. They've got your gas. They've got your snacks. They got everything you need. They have whatever gets you going. That's Racetrack's style. Download the Racetrack Rewards app as they support our local high school football athletes each and every Friday night.
Well, we could bounce around a little bit. Let's have a little fun. 5% red flag of credit union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, baked ten.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number one.
Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, a packed slate of NFL football and a little bit of college football thrown in there as well. Colin, some consider Thanksgiving the best sports holiday of the calendar year. D- Do you agree with that notion, or do you have something else in mind when you combine the words sports viewing and holiday? Where does your mind go?
It's by far the best one. Why is it the best one? Because it's also a great day of sports in of itself, but it's a precursor to an also great weekend. I remember a couple years ago when it was the 2022 World Cup, we had USA and England in group stage in the World Cup on that Friday, 3 o'clock on Fox. So we had Thanksgiving football, and the next day, of course, you have your college football on Friday, but you also have USA, England in the World Cup. Then you get into rivalry weekend, and I believe Chiefs-Bills was on that Sunday, 4:25 on CBS. So talk about just a trifecta. Basically, you have everything, hit every beat, hit every corner. That's basically four or five straight days of great sports. And that's not including college basketball, which the Celtic people get into, because there's a lot of good games this week as well. So you get everything you could ask for if you're a sports fan. It's the best sports day, best sports weekend of the entire year in terms of the quantity and quality that you're getting. You agree with that, Christian?
I agree with you because you combine it with a real holiday. I think another great holiday is, it's not a holiday, but a great sports weekend is when you have the college football playoff and the NFL playoffs going on at the same time. That's always great because every single game means something major and you feel like you can't miss a second of any football that's on your TV screen or else you are completely out of the fold. How about this one? And this one is, listen, newer golf fan, so I'm taking appreciation of the PGA Tour and the majors a little bit more now than I may have 5 years ago. Father's Day, underrated sports day because of how it's the Sunday of the U.S. Open. You have that going on, right, and you have baseball on all day. I feel like nothing means father's son like the game of golf and the game of baseball. Am I off base?
And a lot of the times you have the NHL and the NBA playoffs.
Yeah,
so you got a lot to mix in one spot. And I completely agree with you there. I think you're hitting that right on the head. It's an underrated sports holiday because it's an underrated time of the year for sports. Memorial Day is another one that comes into mind. Easter weekend, another one, always usually has pretty good sports because you got the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs, and usually the Masters is a week later or something like that. Usually the Final Four sometimes around that weekend. It's a lot of fun, so I agree with that. Number two.
Well, we had more college football playoff rankings released last night, even though not much really changed between the week before that. But it gave ESPN another chance to fight the fights of Notre Dame-Miami. Take a listen to this back and forth between Booger McFarland and Galloway as they were debating on whether the head-to-head should matter.
Six, seven.
Well, there's that.
Looking at all these different metrics about this and that. I ain't got to look at that. I just go back and turn the tape on when I saw these two teams play. That's the metric that I need. If these two teams finish 10-2, and we're sitting up there comparing, we're splitting hairs.
Yeah.
I just go back and watch the tape.
If the season ended in the first 2 weeks,
I don't think Miami's it's the same Notre Dame team now.
Not even
than it was in week number one.
Not even close.
That's part of it.
It's a different team.
It's a
better team, Boog.
Your position is
looking at all these.
Are you on Team Booger or on Team Galloway? How much should this head-to-head Miami-Notre Dame win for Miami at Hard Rock Stadium matter when deciding between these at-large bids in the playoff?
Kind of a pie chart, right? You got the head-to-head. That's part of it. It's not everything. I mean, there are a lot of situations in college basketball where they do very based, metric-based systems on how they do seedings, quad one victories, quad two victories, head-to-heads. Everything goes in on it. There needs to be more numbers attached to it, but strength of schedule, how good you are now, how healthy you are now, who are you playing, what conference are you playing in. It's all a piece of the puzzle. So it can't just be the end-all, be-all, head-to-head, because I think all those guys agreed. Notre Dame's not the same team that they were 3 months ago. If you're saying that's the case, then you're dead wrong. And that's a Notre Dame team that lost by 3 points to Miami in their building, basically the first game of the season. So I can't sit here and say that it's just fair to just throw Miami in and throw Notre Dame out when Notre Dame put together probably a better body of work the last 2 months. I think that's just the truth. And you want to get the team that earns it and looks the best at the right time. Because Alabama, why didn't we make a playoff after 2 weeks? Now Florida State would be in. Alabama would be out. Things change. The season changed. Different team. That's how that goes.
I just struggle with why are they playing the games. I don't know where I fall on this because I agree with you in terms of being a realist in saying whose team is better. Answer the question right now, and you might think it's Notre Dame, but the only tangible proof we have of being the better team happened on the field, and it happened at an inconvenient time for the committee as of happening in August, but that game happened, and it's not like a quarterback went down. It's not like a coach left the program between then and now. Those are the same bodies that met on the field in August as if they played this weekend.
All right, so I posed this question to Chris Swager, of all people, the Kaiser University athletic director, and he said, I said, why do you play the games? And he goes, would Miami be higher or lower ranked than where they are now had they not played that game and they played some godforsaken team? And they played some random team in a bye game, yet they still had two losses, and they played, because they still lost the games they lost, and they played, I don't know, Eastern Tennessee State instead of playing Notre Dame. You think they'd be 13? You think they'd be top 11? You think they wouldn't. They would be worse ranked because of that game. You play the games for the ranking, but you don't play the games, in my opinion, just for the head-to-head. I don't think that's completely fair.
Like, what credit are we giving Notre? Okay, good on you, Notre Dame. You scheduled those games and you lost, and your best win is going to be USC, right?
Yeah.
Like, Miami's, I feel like it matters a lot who your wins are versus who your losses were to. Proving you can beat the best, I think, matters a lot. And Miami proved that they can beat a team that many are considering to be in the college football playoff, including the committee.
So this is a subjective point, right? Like, you're subjective that you care about big wins more than bad losses. Some people on the other side of things, they care about bad losses more than great wins. You know, bad losses are bigger blemishes to them. This is the reason that Alabama probably is number 10 comparatively, is because they had that bad Florida State loss. And that's as bad as any team has in terms of losses outside of Miami. So I think it's a subjective point in terms of what you judge and what you care about more. My personal opinion is I care about the worst losses. I think having bad losses is worse than having a more indicative or more implicating than having a great win. I'll try to
That's just, I really don't understand that line of thinking. I'm trying to, but we are trying to decide who is going to get into this party that will be surrounded by a bunch of championship possible teams. Eastern Tennessee State's not going to be in this playoff. So why should the result against a team like that be held against the team?
Why do you play the game? Well, if Miami didn't play the game, they'd be worse ranked. Are we on the same page there? They'd be by very far worse ranked. If they just beat Florida State, they just beat a USF, and then the ACC teams and still had two losses, that team would not be the 11th ranked team in the country.
I think they'd be pretty middle of the pack of the two lost teams. That's where I think Miami would be landing without that Notre Dame win, because those are still good wins. USF, and if you're going to believe the SEC to be as powerful as it is, Florida's worth something.
Right, but they would be worse ranked comparatively. That loss helps them in the rankings battle, right?
I guess a little bit, yeah. But I don't understand why you think bad losses are more impactful to a team's resume than how good their wins are.
Here's the thing. Miami has, we're acting like Miami's got Alabama's schedule. Alabama played all these ranked teams. That's why Alabama was able to vindicate themselves away from that Florida State loss. Miami did not have that. Miami did not have three or four games that pop out in the schedule. Boy, oh boy, Miami, how about that? They didn't really do that. Now, Notre Dame didn't either. But then when you're splitting hairs between two teams and resumes and there's not really a right way to look at it, then I think the all equalizer is, all right, how do they look now? Then what is your answer? All right, well, Miami's got Notre Dame's got better losses, but Miami's got worse losses. Miami probably has a better win comparatively to Notre Dame. Notre Dame probably looked more dominant in said wins. Now the triple beam balance is a little over half, 60-40, 55-50, 45, whatever it might be. All right, then how do we break this down the middle? How do we find our tiebreaker? How do they look in the last 3 weeks? And you're going to sit here and tell me that Miami looks better? How do they look in the last month? Notre Dame looks better, right?
Like, style points and perception and all that versus the tangible result that we got maybe at the most, not the most opportune time, I think is crazy.
I think that how you win definitely matters, yeah. Because here's another example. With Notre Dame over the weekend beating Syracuse by 70 points, you think they did that by accident? They did that purposely because they want to show the committee, hey, Miami played this team. We could pummel them more that's worse than Miami. And guess what? Miami has another opportunity because they played Pitt this weekend, and Pitt lost to Notre Dame 10 days ago. by their 22 points. So let's see what Miami does. If Miami blows them out of the water, then there's a little bit more of an argument there. But I agree. Does Miami probably get... Are they getting screwed? Honestly, yes. But can I sit here and have sympathy for them? No. Don't lose to SMU and don't lose to Louisville. Lose one of them. That should be the name of the game in the ACC is always assume that there's going to be one team from the conference. From now on. Assume that there's going to be one. And that's not unfair to say. That's something that we probably would have predicted at the beginning part of the year. Assume, bar none, it's only going to be one team in the ACC. And it's going to be one team this year, most likely. It's going to be the winner of that ACC championship game. Miami doesn't even get a chance to play in it. Are you following along there? Do you see that rationalization there?
Yeah, that I'm trying to go to the next number.
All right, 3, 4.
Number 4.
Outside of the game in college football this weekend, Ohio State, Michigan, of course, what other college football game has your attention to the highest degree for rivalry weekend?
I think Alabama's going to get all they can handle from Auburn. People who are Auburn fans tell you that Auburn nowadays, they just play 11 practice games and then they lock in for Alabama. That has been Auburn's mantra for the last 4 or 5 years. Their job is to spoil Alabama. That is their successful season. They fired their coach. Whether it's going to be a success or not, Auburn fans would be happy if they knocked off Alabama and knocked them out of the playoff. They would be pleased with that season. This is a very, you know, it's a blue-blooded rivalry. It's so nasty. It divides families. They hate each other. I think there's a lot more animosity with the Auburn and Alabama comparatively to Ohio State and Michigan. I think Ohio State and Michigan has a little bit more storiness to it. It has better teams attached to it usually. But I think in terms of pure hatred, I think Auburn and Alabama, I think, take the cake. So Alabama's going to get all they can handle from Auburn. There's no way they don't. I think Auburn's going to give them. That stadium, too, Jordan-Hare at night, place is haunted. All the SEC teams hate playing there. Every single year, everybody's in a dogfight in that building. There's something about Auburn at home. That's the game I'm looking forward to. I wonder if Texas is going to show a little guts against A&M on Friday night. But outside of that, that Auburn-Alabama game is going to have my attention.
Listen, Evan was trying to talk down about the Egg Bowl when you had him on earlier in the day. How dare you?
You're big on that. You were big on that last year.
I love the Egg Bowl. The Egg Bowl is a part of my heart, and I've never been to the state of Mississippi apart from stopping for gas once. Number 7, Ole Miss, 7.5-point favorites on the road at Mississippi State with the drama of whether or not Lane Kiffin will be coaching his final game as the head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels. That is absolute cinema. I cannot wait for that game. And you're going to get the cowbells. It's a noon kick. Yeah. It takes a little bit of the luster off of it. But I'm excited for that game on Friday. Also, going head-to-head with Bears-Eagles tomorrow or 2 days from now. Georgia-Georgia Tech. Remember how good that game was last year where Georgia Tech gave Georgia all they could handle. I think we might have my two favorite games of the college football weekend taking place on Friday instead of Saturday. Like, if I could only watch two games, the game's not making that. The game's not making it.
I absolutely hate the fact that Georgia Tech lost last week. I know it doesn't make a difference in the scheme of the ACC championship game. They're not going to get in now. And I know the Georgia game had nothing to do with that. But a one-loss Georgia Tech team, I think, would have been a lot of fun to have an argument to not only get a good seeding in the playoff if they were to win the ACC championship game, but if they were a one-loss team throughout the regular season and then somehow somebody stole a bid, do you still put in Georgia Tech? Those are the types of conversations that you could have that they'd lend themselves to. Had Georgia Tech won last week against Pitt. They were terrible in the first half, 28-0 before you blinked. They rumbled back into the game, and then all of a sudden Pitt was able to close it. So I'm down on Georgia Tech. I'm down on that game. But you're right. I think Georgia Tech will respond nicely after a bad loss like that. I do think Georgia's nervous about that because they want that bye. They want a bye regardless of what happens. And I think if they don't get that bye, they're going to be really pissed off.
And our final topic of the 5 at 5 is...
Number 5.
We're talking food. We're talking Thanksgiving. What is your favorite non-traditional Thanksgiving dish that needs to be a part of tomorrow's meal? Because I go...
You have one of mine?
Part of the meal. I think the shrimp and cocktail sauce is integral.
It's a good one. Good one.
Like, it's not what you think of when you think of the pilgrims sitting down with the Native Americans and having a good feast. You don't think of shrimp cocktail. But in my household, that is my favorite hors d'oeuvre that's being passed around before we really sit down for the big meal.
Yeah, I take care of that. I completely agree with you. I take care of the shrimp cocktail. Even like the carrots and like the celery with the ranch dip or the blue cheese dip or before you get started, it just warms you up. You know, yeah. It's like layup lines. That's what it is. And everybody's standing around the counter. There's something to that.
They do something to that ranch. That ranch that is in the platter of celery, carrots, and dip. I think they add sour cream to it or a thickener. Have you ever noticed that? It's a fluffier type of ranch when you buy those pre-made platters, whether it be at the grocery store or the supermarket. I'm telling you that they have something special in there that you cannot buy without getting the complete platter.
Yeah, I'll make a note of that on Thursday. I don't
just examine it a little bit. Put a little thought into what you're
doing. Put a finger in it and wish it around. All right, it's a little thicker. in terms of the openers, yeah, that makes a big deal to me. In terms of the meals itself, I don't have anything out of the ordinary. I don't think we have a special dip that my grandmother makes on my father's side, and that we call it Mexican dip, and it's great. It's just like, it's sour cream, it's a bunch of different cheeses, a bunch of different salsas. It's a great little chips dip. That's a staple in our household. But outside of that, nothing crazy out of the ordinary other than the shrimp cocktail is underrated. I agree. The carrots and the celery are layup lines. And then...
How are you on the cheese and charcuterie type of stuff?
Pass. Good.
Really?
Good. Yeah, I'm all set. I'm all set.
I dominate the cheese board. Are you kidding me?
I'm good. I don't need that. We're okay.
I came back from Milwaukee, and I was like, man, you guys, you think you got cheese. You don't got cheese.
Yeah. No, I'm good on that. I'm set. I don't need that. So I'm okay in the cheese. I'm a shrimp cocktail guy, and I'm a... celery and carrots guy. That's what I am. That's what I am.
Okay.
Is that number five? That was our Flagler Credit Union, of course, presented by Flagler Credit Union. Every family has dreams. They want a vacation, a new car, or a rainy day fund. With a Boost savings account from Flagler Credit Union, your dreams can become reality. Earn up to 3.0 annual percentage yield with no minimum balance, no monthly fees, and easy access to your funds. Whether you're saving for life's big moments or everyday expenses, a Boost savings account helps you reach your goals faster. Open a Boost savings account today and start boosting your future at Flagler Credit Union. Flagler Credit Union is the official credit union of Florida Atlantic Athletics. That's Christian Catt, Colin Russo, Damian Perez. We got to blitz the book a little later on, make some picks against our parlay. Bet these weekend's games. Send you off into your holiday season. Coming back after this, it's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. You're going to see a bunch of great things this weekend. You're going to see the Macy's Day Parade if it suits you. You're going to see some great college football over the weekend and rivalry weekend. Some great NFL with four games in the next 2 days. You got college basketball, Feast Week, closing things out this week. All that is fantastic. But the real action is going to be 1 p.m. on Saturday with some Kaiser football.
Dude, these number two ranked Kaiser Seahawks have been disrespected for far too long. Really, how much can you disrespect a team with the number two in the nation? Well, we in West Palm know the Kaiser Seahawks football team is number one. You have got to see the Kaiser Seahawks home playoff game in the NAIA Championship Series playoffs this Saturday, 1 p.m. If I were to name off to you every single player that received Sun Conference awards over the weekend, I would miss the heart out, and we would be here going into around 7 o'clock at night. Kaiser's got the best quarterback in the conference. They've got the best running back in the conference. They've got the defensive player of the year with Tyler Logo. Kaiser Breeze champions, and they're starting off that track for another red banner this Saturday, 1 p.m. in West Palm Beach, right off of I-95. Right off the turnpike. If you can't be at the game, you can listen to the game on ESPN 106.3, and you can also watch on the Urban Edge Network. Kaiser is the home of champions, both on the court, on the field, and in the classroom. Kaiser Seahawks have 26 national championships. KUSeahawks.com for more information to find out more all about those championship Kaiser Seahawk programs.
Christian, next time we're on air on about Monday or Tuesday, What type of coaching carousel things do you think we'll be surprised to see? Do you think Penn State will announce some big out of nowhere hire by the time we get back on air on Monday? Do you think it's going to take a couple more, maybe another week?
Yeah, it almost kind of feels like the NBA draft where you have insiders saying, oh, watch out, things are going to go down, sparks are going to fly. Actually, that was the NFL draft, excuse me, prepping the public. With how much movement there has been behind the scenes and the shifts and the off-the-record comments that reporters are making sure that we know, that they know, I think they are just waiting to the end of the regular season. And we will have answers to Lane Kiffin. I think it's undisputed that Lane Kiffin, we will know whether or not he's an Ole Miss Rebel or elsewhere by the time we pop open the mics at 4 o'clock on Monday. I don't know if Penn State's going to have their answer. I've kind of fallen in love with this fantasy scenario of Lane Kiffin to Alabama and Kalen DeBoer, Alabama's head coach, to Penn State. If that comes to fruition, that'd be really sick. I'd be really happy with that. Evan Cohen told you earlier today, and he told America, Allen Robinson, former Penn State wide receiver, wants Kalen DeBoer as the next head coach. I think we're going to have a lot more answers than questions remaining the time we turn these mics on at 4 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. A couple things that have happened. North Texas's head coach, Eric Morris, is going to Oklahoma State. North Texas, who, by the way, is right now in first place of the American. They are in a three-way tie with Navy and Tulane. And North Texas is in a win-and-in scenario. If they win that last game of the year, they have Temple the last game. So outside of that, it sounds like North Texas is allowing Coach Morris to continue coaching throughout the playoff. See, that's a situation where the team understands why you're upgrading. The team understands that you're taking a pay raise. The team understands that you're taking the next step. It's a ladder job at the end of the day. So that's why they're letting him coach. Lane Kiffin's situation, or if Kalen DeBoer has any steam in shifting out of Alabama, that is all different. You'd have to keep that so quiet because these schools are not going to be happy with you making these decisions. Unless Alabama's happy, Kalen, go take Penn State. We want Lane. Unless they want that, I can't sit here and say that we'd hear about it because it's just so quiet because you're dealing with the top of the top. Eric Morris, you're allowed to hear this now because he's going to be allowed to coach for the next 3 weeks if it comes to it, if they're lucky enough to get a bid. So that's been number one. It's been reported that Alex Golesh, who's the head coach of University of South Florida, who's had a great season themselves, on the outside looking in the American, probably not going to get a bid to that championship game. It looks like he's going to take the Arkansas job. That's what's being reported. So that's one SEC gig off the market. Now you're going to look in other directions. Go ahead.
Those USF fans aren't very happy with him. Like they're not, hey, you earned it. We're proud of you to get
that's
this
big-time like
job.
North Texas
USF
is. Yeah,
hates
wow.
him.
Wow. So they're upset that he's going to an SEC school from the American.
Yeah.
Really?
Make that
argument for Oklahoma State. You can't make that argument for Arkansas. That doesn't make any sense.
I know. They are really angry. They think that he can do what he's going to do at Arkansas or plans to do at Arkansas at USF, which I believe they are completely and totally delusional if they actually think that.
Right. And another one that came out kind of out of nowhere was Jim Mora, who ended up leaving UConn and took the job at Colorado State. And this is after UConn had a great season. So that's another one that sort of took fans by surprise. The UConn fan is not happy about that because it's not like you're moving up to a big conference, which he probably could have gotten a decent job with. He's moving to Colorado State, which is sort of a lackluster program nonetheless. So between now and then, do you think that Florida and LSU will have their coaching vacancies filled by the time Monday comes around?
Yes. Yes, because I think LSU's easy with Tulane's head coach. I think that's going to be a simple 1-2 switch. Takes to the end of the regular season. Bang, that simple. And I think that, you know, I think the Florida and Lane stuff makes sense. I really do see that happening. And maybe it gets leaked that that's going to happen. And Lane still coaches Ole Miss throughout the playoff run. But I think that those are the two answers to the questions that we will get by Monday, 4 p.m.
That'd be up to the school. The school would have to say, hey, he'd have to ask the school, Ole Miss, and then he'd have to ask the new school that he's going to if he could do that instead of building a staff and preparing for the playoff for a month, which is, you know, you're getting behind the eight ball a little bit in terms of next year. So that's a questionable decision. I'm not sure if they would let that happen.
Well, yeah, we heard what the committee had to say about whether or not if Lane Kiffin does depart Ole Miss after the Egg Bowl, before the SEC championship game, before a theoretical first round of the playoff. And Damian, what did the committee have to say in this very important matter of losing a coach before the playoff? We've seen it with a player. What would happen if a coach left? Where would Ole Miss be ranked?
6-7.
Yeah.
What a joke.
Yeah. You want to say different words there.
What a waste of time. That's why you can't take these guys seriously. I think these guys, the committee, they do this just for the performance of it all.
Oh, they love being the power holders. Yeah,
they don't make the decision. Their decisions today, I don't think have anything to do with what they're going to do when they actually have to make the bracket.
When the rubber hits the road and it matters, this is all theater?
They just do this because the TV networks tell them to. Because it works for the TV networks, and they want to do an ESPN show on Tuesday nights. And the committee, who likes the power, I'm sure they like doing it, but they don't put any real thought into it, I don't think, till after this week. Pre-conference championship week, they really start looking at it. The last 5 weeks, complete wash. There's a reason. I can't take it seriously because Miami's in there. Miami's the only ACC team in there. Miami's not making the ACC championship game.
Yeah, I know they've explained it maybe 25 times since they did this show, but I still don't understand why they're keeping the graphic that way. Just because they're the highest ranked team, we know and they know there is no inside track. It is a waste of time.
It's a waste of time.
Do you think it's good that these rankings are done every week, or would it be better with a complete resume built, story written, season over, now we evaluate teams?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, we do bracketology with college basketball, but we don't have the committee come out and do our here's your 16 seeds. You wait until Selection Sunday, and that's when you see where teams are. You have projections, but by guys who study this, but you don't have anything concrete. This is the only sport where you have to see it and talk about potential playoff projections before you even play the games. If that reason and that reason alone doesn't tell you that it's a complete waste of time, I don't know what will, because it is a waste of time. You don't need. There's three games to play. There's two games to play. There's two more games to play if you're playing in a conference championship game. If you're playing this weekend, we don't need to do this charade. We don't. So I'm actually not a fan. I never tune in on Tuesday nights when they do it. I'll keep an eye on it after the fact. But what these games, these next 2 weeks, will determine how they look will determine what the seeding and who gets in. I don't think the committee puts any real thought into who's going to get in at this point in time. I really don't. I think that's for people like you and me.
If you rooted for a team that was up there, I think you'd be tuning in. When my Penn State Nittany Lions were flirting with those top four seeds when it was a four-team playoff, when it was 2016 and all of a sudden that team came out of nowhere, that feeds the hopeful team waiting to see what happens after they get their big win, embracing themselves for impact after being a top four team and losing to an unranked team. That's pretty good theater, I will admit.
See, if you're a BYU fan, I'd understand that. If you were a Miami fan, I'd understand that. If you're a Big Ten or an SEC school fan and you know what your path is, path for Indiana is very clear. The path for Oregon is very clear. Don't lose to Washington. You don't lose to Washington, you're getting in. That would make it seem I don't really care what the committee says because I know they're getting in as long as they win this game. But if you're a BYU and you're almost just at the subjection of the committee, then you get a little annoyed because BYU has four ranked wins. They've won two of them on the road. They got one loss. They're going to lose one time to the fifth ranked team in the entire thing. I mean, can they make an argument that it's unfair? Yeah, they can. And if they're going to have two losses and everything else is to ranked teams they've won on the road and they have no bad losses outside of one team twice, why does BYU have any less chance of a pie as comparatively to Miami? Because Miami beat Notre Dame, I guess. But, you know, that's an argument that BYU fans, I think it goes under the rug because they don't have as loud of a fan base here in South Florida. I mean, there's arguments to those types of teams. Those are the guys who would care about the College Football Playoff Committee doing it week in and week out. But personally, I could have without it, maybe do one after the rivalry week and then one after for Selection Sunday.
I think it's unfortunate that sometimes people that have your or I job will come on and say, this is great. Everybody's talking about it. That's a little bit selfish. I feel like that we should have the system the best that it can be. It's an imperfect sport with an imperfect league because of how the conferences are set up. It should not be a good thing for a sport to be embroiled in controversy. Like, this is college football. We're long enough in the path where not all publicity is good publicity. And I'm going to refer to the WNBA in that situation where, okay, they could, at that moment, 2 or 3 years ago, could use the publicity they could get, whether it was good or whether it was bad. It's college football. Like, it needs to be done the best of its ability, and we need to crown a champion to the best of our ability. So a team getting wronged and having sports talk radio segments about that is not a good thing for college football.
I agree.
And whether you believe Florida State should have been or shouldn't have been, I was actually in the park that said they should not be in the playoff a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
This year, Miami might be that team.
There's a lack of trust. That's what it is. There's a disconnect. There's a lack of trust between the fan bases. And I understand fan bases think short-sighted between their teams versus the world. But I think there just needs to be a better criteria. What's the criteria? Set numbers. All right. Are there quad one victories? Are there quad two victories? Are there valuable victories? How do you define that? Are you winning on the road? Is that extra points? What part of the year are you winning? Do you win rivalry games? Do you win in-conference road games? That set of criteria, you could put a math to it. And then if you attach a number to it, it doesn't have to be everything. It doesn't have to be computerized.
Yeah.
But to at least apply a baseline. To make it hard for the committee to answer for their crimes if they were to get one wrong, if the numbers don't add up to it, that's where it should go. And I don't know if they'll ever get to that. I don't know. Christian Katt, Colin Russo, Damian Perez. Russo and Rizzo will blitz the book, make a parlay to send you off into your weekend action on a Wednesday edition of the program. It's on the ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3, Wednesday, November 26, 2025. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm and ESPN South Florida. Download the ESPN South Florida app for free today. Listen, if you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, fell on the stairs on your way to Thanksgiving, Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they like to fight for you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back. They can get yours too and take that one phone call. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Why settle for just any attorney when you could demand the best, when you could get the best with Anajar and Levine? Because that's the difference. Take that one phone call and take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call with a free consultation now. It's important to have somebody protect you when you most need it. That's Anajar and Levine. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. All right, let's have a little fun. Let's bounce around. Let's make a parlay with Blitz the Book with Hard Rock Bet.
Send some heat. Pin your ears back. It's time to Blitz the Book. Presented by Hard Rock Bet.
What's the book? Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Download the Hard Rock Bet app today and you can get started. All right, Christian, how do you want to formulate this? And let's put together a skeleton before we figure out what exact picks we're going to put on. How many of what, how many total, and what type of sports?
I think that we need to have action on two games tomorrow. Okay. I think two games on Thanksgiving, that is as American as apple pie.
No problems there. All right, so you want to start there? Let's do that.
Yeah.
Anything you're hot on immediately. I have one. I don't think you're going to like it. I like Cincinnati +7.
I'm okay with that.
You like that?
I think
Cincinnati's going to play well in it. You're rooting for a good game, too.
Yeah, sure. I'm okay with that. And it feels like the Bengals and the Ravens always go through these fun, crazy games. And
first game
I do think a lot of points are going to be scored in this game, which actually makes you think that the amount of points the underdog gets, it lessens how important it is the higher the over-under gets. Because you could have a back-and-forth game where it could be anyone's game, final score 38-30, and all of a sudden the favor covers, despite that really being a coin flip game. I'm okay with taking the Bengals at that moment, and I am turning my sights to the road favorite, turning my sights to the Kansas City Chiefs, who are 3-point favorites in Jerry World. I'm a big fan of that pick. What do you think?
So the one thing I don't like is Kansas City's not good on the road, but it is a must-win game. If you're going to, you know, tell me to pick, who do I trust more in a big spot, must-win, have-it game? Or do I trust Patrick Mahomes or Dak Prescott? Do I trust Brian Schottenheimer and Dak Prescott or Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes? I trust Patrick Mahomes.
Do you want numbers?
Go ahead.
Since 2004, road favorites are 25-1 straight up to win the game.
Wow.
Against the spread, they're 20-6 on Thanksgiving.
There you go. All right. You sold me.
All right. We got the Chiefs -3. We got the Bengals +7 for our Thursday picks.
All right. Hopefully the Cowboys aren't, hopefully they're not the outlier here. All right, let's go to the college football slate. I think it's available right here. Yeah, there's got a ton you could choose from. So a couple games we have. Do you have any Friday games you're looking at? Texas A&M. You got to take the Egg Bowl. Let's stop playing games.
I've got
you
the
think
Egg
Ole
Bowl.
Miss 7.5.
I'm going Mississippi State plus 7.5 in
Let's
the Egg Bowl. That is a team that is looking at their head coach and not sure whether or not he is 10 toes down, because he has given them every reason to believe that he is not 10 toes down, thinking about Ole Miss and only Ole Miss. Give me Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl at home.
Another one I would do, I would take Miami. I know I've been talking down on them the whole week. They're minus 6.5 at Pitt. I would take Miami.
Yeah, it's a style points game. Like, they
That's a
will
style
be
points
trying
game.
To-
you need to win. You need to win big.
I
so
like
they're
going to
be motivated. They're going to be pissed off. Miami minus 6.5. All right, we got four legs on the parlay. Do you want to add one more college football? Should we do Ohio State, Michigan in favor of Mike Rizzo or no?
Whew.
Ohio State minus 9.5. The over-under is 43.
I like taking a pick on the total in that game. If I'm looking at the game, what is that over-under again for the
43.5.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. Whew, that feels so low. And for that reason, I want to go under. I see just a, last year's Ohio State-Michigan game.
I agree with you there.
I think we go under the 43.5, Ohio State-Michigan.
I don't like rooting for it, but I tend to agree with you. If there's going to be a low-scoring affair, think Texas-Ohio State first part of the year.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That's five legs. That means we got the Bengals plus 7, the Chiefs minus 3, Mississippi State, home against Ole Miss plus 7.5. Miami minus 6.5 on the road at Pitt. 43.5 Ohio State, Michigan. We're taking the under. You like that? You want to add one more?
I kind of like that a lot. That cup of coffee gets you over $100 on a payout. $112.46 to be exact on just a $5 wager on that 5-bet parlay.
Yep. I have no problem with that. Taking the big games, the big key games. I wouldn't touch the A&M Texas game. I have no idea what's going to happen there. I wouldn't touch the Georgia Tech, who's favored by 14.5. Part of me thinks that Georgia Tech could cover that 14.5. But if it's 14.5, that means Vegas knows something.
Yeah,
that means that Georgia Tech is done, and they know they're done. And they're going to roll over and show their belly. And Georgia Tech and Georgia is going to fire on all cylinders. So I agree with what we said earlier, that you'd think they'd play well in this game. But if it's 14.5, they know something I don't. Stay far away. All right, there's our 5-bet parlay. 5 to win 112, plus 2149. Plus 2149. That concludes it. There's our Bets the Book with Hard Rock Bet. Go download that app today and enjoy the Thanksgiving weekend, because you're going to have a lot of festivities. I will make sure to watch at least 4 minutes of the Macy's Day Parade. I will make sure to watch the football, and I will make sure I eat a lot of food. I hope everybody enjoys their Thanksgiving festivities. Damian Prez, big thanks. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Thanks for keeping us up over the airwaves today back in West Palm. Christian Katt, enjoy a Midwest Thanksgiving with you and your girlfriend and her family. And we'll be back at it with local programming on Sunday with Sunday Huddle, so stay tuned for that. You get Inter Miami this weekend in a playoff game, which you could hear right here on ESPN 106.3. That's 6 p.m. on Saturday. Stay tuned for that. But this has been Colin Russo saying so long. We'll see you next time. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy the family time. It's been Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.